This is episode 31 with Delara Godrich.
Welcome to the As Told by Nomads podcast, where you'll learn how nomads, third culture kids, entrepreneurs, and leaders all over the world embrace their global identity and use their difference to make a difference. And now, having lived on four different continents, here's your host, Tayo Roxy.
Today's episode was another fun one. We enjoyed talking about the importance of being different and embracing that and using that to apply in the workplace and also using that to accept who you are. Yes, we are all the same as human. We're all part of the human race, but there are also uniqueness and unique traits that we all have as individuals that we can use to really show the beauty of the world. And so Delara and I dive into that today, and we also get into some of our fun and favorite things at the end or in the middle. So stay tuned for that. I'm sure you're bound to get a chuckle out of that. So enjoy the episode. Good day, nomads. Today I have with me Delara Godrich. She's a multifaceted international individual with experience in pharmaceutical industries across North America as well as Asia. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. So I talked a little bit about your background there. Can you tell us your nomadic story and how you came to be where you are today?
Sure. So I was actually born in Yokohama, Japan, to parents of Indian origin. My father was in the Merchant Marines. He was a captain at sea and a sailor for a long time. He was also always looking for an opportunity to have a job on shore because this would then allow us to be together as a family. So he was based in Japan working with a Japanese shipping company when I was born. I spent my first 4 years in Japan, and then our family actually moved back to India. I was in India from the ages of 4 to about 10, and this is when my father actually went back to sailing. And then at the age of about 11, he got another job in Thailand, in Bangkok. Again, so it was an opportunity for us to be together as a family, and so we packed our bags, and we moved to Bangkok. And I lived in Bangkok from about the ages of about 11 to about 14. At the age of about 14, my father realized I wasn't actually going to be, his work was not going to keep him in Thailand for very much longer. And it looked like he was going to have to go back to sailing. And so, and this was sort of, I was, you know, entering my high school years, and he was not intending to sort of create any disruption during my high school years. So I moved again, and this time returned back to India, but attended a British boarding school there. And then I was at this British boarding school in India for all the way through high school. I then came to the States for college, went to school in Illinois, small liberal arts school in central Illinois. And during my third year, my junior year, I spent my third year as an exchange student in England, and then obviously returned to the States to finish my senior year. But what was interesting during that time as well is my father ended up going back to work in Japan. And so during my late teens and through my 20s, I actually would spend a number of my vacations in Japan with my father. After college, I actually ended up getting started working in the pharmaceutical industry as a chemist. I had a job in Michigan for a number of years and then moved to Boston. I should say, got my MBA, moved to Boston. Then I've been sort of in this role in Boston and now at a company in New York, working with drug manufacturing facilities overseas and within the U.S. and sort of helping manage drug manufacturing operations.
Wow. You know, there are a few things that I could pull from there. When my dad was posted in Vietnam right when we were going to high school, he wanted me to go to school in America. So we had to sort of have that thing where I would go for holidays in Vietnam while going to school in Virginia here, because the universities in America were ranked higher at the time. So you just wanted that background. And I related to that when you said your dad knew he was going to get back to sailing and he wanted you to have a more stable high school.
Exactly. Okay. I think this is kind of very common, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So you've traveled, you've lived and worked in several countries. Can you tell us something that you've learned from your time overseas?
Yeah. So for me, it's actually, I think, created this very sort of insatiable love for travel within myself. I'm always where I'm looking for new experiences. And I think, you know, traveling itself, it fills that thirst within me. And what I've really sort of realized is part of the upbringing, and I think you've had, you know, other guests touch on this, is, I think it makes you extremely adaptable. You know, you sort of become very comfortable with the unknown, with ambiguity, with situations that may not be entirely within your comfort zone, but you become comfortable in that space, and I think you start to sort of recognize, you know, you just recognize that feeling, and then recognize, okay, what is it that I need to do to get to where I need or what I want, or, you know, the kind of experience I need to have. And I think that's very much that adaptability, I think, really sort of helps TCKs, I think, in the workplace, you know, when they're moving through their careers, because I think they adapt really well to dynamic, changing environments. I think for me as well, I think it's also helped me become a better communicator, because it's really important to understand how people communicate differently within different cultures. You know, I think Americans or Western Europeans tend to be very direct, but that's not always the case, you know, in Asia. And it's not that, you know, Asians are not straightforward. I think it just takes a little time to develop relationships with them where they, you know, you have to sort of develop a level of trust and a level of comfort before they can, you know, perhaps feel comfortable to open up and talk about where they're coming from.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you. I think that adaptability point is so true and very key. It relates in the workplace and just moving, you know, just with that, having that ability to be able to deal with change is something that that's definitely not common to everyone. So I think growing up like that definitely plays a big part into that. But speaking on this, to touch on this, would you say, what would you say one way was a way you connected with people when you travel? Because I know adaptability is something that you were suited to have, but was there some particular thing that you made sure you did when you traveled?
So when I travel, I think it's really actually important to learn just basic words in people's cultures. Hello, thank you, please. And it's amazing actually how far it will get you when you actually say hello to someone in their language or say thank you. It shows, I think, an effort that you're trying to make to connect with them. And I think it opens them up to then want to try and connect with you. And it's interesting how something so simple, I think, can go a really long way to sort of helping develop a relationship.
Yeah, I think it also shows that, you know, you're making an effort, and then, you know, it sort of endears them to you even more.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I was going to say, my mission statement is use your difference to make a difference. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's something I try to live by every day. What is one way, Delara, that you use your difference to make a difference?
You know, I think for me is, I think, you know, coming back to sort of the, I think my background has sort of made me a more effective communicator, to sort of understand how to talk to people differently. And when you're trying to communicate, it's a matter of understanding where people are coming from, asking the right questions, and really sort of helping dig deep to understand the other person's perspective. You know, in sort of the everyday, you know, day life, you know, one might say, okay, you're not changing the world. You're not like, you're not running around properly. But I think, to me, it's actually made me much more effective at my job and what I do.
So you're saying basically the fact that you recognize you're different is actually, and you embrace that, has made you utilize those skills in a much more efficient way than you would have otherwise if you weren't comfortable.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
You know, I think, you know, for example, I think it's, you know, the way you communicate with a native speaker is very different. A native English speaker is very different from perhaps, you know, talking to somebody where English is not their native language. And you've got to be, you know, in sort of this globalized world, is, you know, you will work with people like that. And that's, I think it's important to realize the differences when you're communicating with each other is how to be effective in speaking with these different kinds of people. And at the same time, you know, I think as we touched on before, the importance of being able to, for the non-native speakers to be able to reach out to them in their language, you know, to be able to connect and make a connection.
I'm completely with you on that. I'm always saying how that just coming to your embracing your identity can really, really help in just many, many things, because as comfortable as you are with yourself, then, you know, it starts to show, and then, you know, good things can come out of that. So
exactly. Yes.
All right, I'm going to do a little transition here into a little fun questions here. So, because you've obviously traveled a lot, I was curious as to what would you say was a country that, you know, you had the best experience in, where you went there and it was just fun, and you, it's somewhere you often try to get back to as much as you can.
I can think of a country that was fun. I don't know if I try to get it back there as much as I can. I think for me, actually, it was my year in England. What was interesting, I think, about when I was there was I was obviously in England, but I actually worked with I stayed and lived with and studied with a lot of different Europeans.
Right.
Come to England to, you know, they come on these, what they call Erasmus scholarships, and they come, you know, come to England to learn English. And so I had friends from France, I had friends from Spain, Germany, you know, Italy, all across Europe. And so it was wonderful. We, you know, even though we were in England, these are people from all over, you know, connecting here, and I, you know, built some very sort of deep relationships with friends there that I'm still in touch with and still connect with. So it was a great time. You know, we'd have a lot of parties. You know, I sort of got exposed to a lot of different food from these people's cultures, a lot of different music, and it was really a wonderful time.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, those individuals have now sort of dispersed and gone back to their homes.
Naturally, right? Naturally.
Yeah, their homes, which is great because, you know, I when I am in Europe, I use whatever opportunity I can to connect, connect with and meet up with. That's one of the best parts about my job is it allows me to travel and, you know, at the same time be able to, you know, connect with the people from my past and the people I've, you know, been lucky enough to develop relationships with.
Now, what about India? There are many stereotypes about India. What are some stereotypes you can dispel right now on this podcast and say, no way, that's not happened in India?
We do not ride on elephants. We actually have cars. We get around in cars. We wear shoes.
It's very funny you say that. When I went to university, people asked me if I, you know, did ride an elephant or if we had cars or I lived in huts. And
no, really?
Exactly, yeah. They were asking me the Lion King stories. So everything in Lion King, no, mama, zumba. They actually sang the stuff to me. So I think it's, so no elephants, I mean, and you have shoes, okay.
Yes, we have shoes.
It's very good to know.
And there's no language called Indian.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's the same in Nigeria.
Yeah, why don't you speak Nigerian? But no language called Indian. All right.
No one language actually called Indian. I think people don't realize that India is actually an extremely diverse country. You know, we have, I believe, 26 states, different, about 1,500 different dialects, you know, different religions. We've got Christians, Muslims, you know, obviously Hindus are the majority, but a lot of other different religions, Zoroastrians, Sikhs. And so there's a lot of diversity, I think, in India that most, I think, people from elsewhere maybe don't appreciate. And the fact that it's interesting because even within India itself, because there's so much diversity, a lot of us end up speaking English with each other because we don't speak each other's native languages.
Yeah, no, that I completely relate to that. It's coming from a diverse nation, having that one universal language usually helps a lot. So it's a country that you've been with the best food.
Japan, and it's because I love seafood, and I think culturally there's a real sort of focus on freshness. So, you know, everything you get in the supermarket is usually, you know, things that are brought into the supermarket that day. Your fish is caught fresh in the morning, at your table at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And so I really love sort of the culture of freshness and sort of having fresh ingredients, the use of fresh ingredients in their food there.
Gotcha. I've been here in Japan a lot, so it seems to be one of the most popular options. I heard Thailand, I've heard Japan, so.
All right.
You know, so here at Dilara, I know there's this dilemma. Bollywood, Hollywood, which one is better?
Depends what you're looking for. I don't know if there's even a comparison, quite honestly.
Oh, wait, okay. Which one is better for you?
Can I say neither?
Oh, okay, neither. Fine. Which one would you prefer? What would you watch when you can?
You know, it's really interesting. I'm like drawn to independent movies, so
independent films. Okay.
You know, usually it's like I'm watching the off-the-cuff French movie or, you know, again, Spanish movie out there. I think, you know, they both have their positive characteristics, if you will. I think, you know, Indian cinema is actually geared to sort of the Indian masses, right? And it's sort of tailored around, you know, sort of what in Indian terms would be this ideal life about boy meeting girl and falling in love and dancing around and singing songs. But it's sort of a romanticized notion of what life is like from the Indian perspective. And I think it's been really important for people, particularly if you live in poverty and, you know, you're looking for an escape from your everyday life. I think Bollywood has sort of helped serve that purpose in you know, the Indian psyche. But, you know, at the same time, I think, you know, Hollywood is Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood. Hollywood is Hollywood. You know, I like it. Being different, which is very, very TCK of you. I don't know. I shouldn't have expected anything less. Independent films, yes. Okay.
You know, the Pedro Almodovar movies. And
nice. Well, all right. I'm going to go back here now that we've established, you know, the likes and dislikes of Dilara Goodrich. What about your pieces of advice here? Some nuggets of wisdom that you can drop to, let's say, a 13-year-old version of yourself, you know, who's trying to find herself. How would you say she should embrace a global identity and sort of come out of that?
So, you know, I think the advice I would give to my 13-year-old self now is, one, I think, you know, as I would tell myself, you know, it's okay to actually not feel like you're home anywhere. And sort of realize that I think home has actually more to do with the happiness of where you are inside versus where you're actually living. Because actually, if you can learn to be happy within yourself, you can really be happy anywhere. It's irrelevant, really, where you're living, who you're with. To me, it's more important about how you feel about yourself inside, how secure you are inside, and how happy you are with yourself. That actually becomes much more important. Everything else, you know, is a label that you try, I think, to sort of put it on yourself, because the society is trying to box you in and put you in a box and try and figure out where you fit in. But be okay with the fact that you will never be in that one box, because what you bring to the table is the best of all the cultures you've been in and that you've been exposed to. And at the end of the day, I think that's what people will appreciate about you. And it actually, at the end of the day, it'll make you a global ambassador for those countries that you've lived in. And embrace that and realize that in a lot of ways, as that ambassador, you help enrich the lives of people that have not had those experiences. And you open the eyes of those who have not had those experiences. But very often after meeting you, talking to you, you know, it'll spur an interest in them to go out and seek their own, you know, travel experiences for themselves.
I absolutely love that, Dilara, because I say this in the mission portion of the blog. I'm always talking about I want people to be able to see the beauty in us. And when I'm saying beauty, I'm not talking about physical thing. I'm talking about something abstract in the sense that someone can see, they can hear England in your voice and see India in you, and then based on something else you've done, they can see maybe America or Thailand or something else. And then, you know, it sparks the curiosity about, you know, the world and understand, like, you know, Dilara, I see the world in her. I can see three different continents in her. I'm very interested in doing that. I also want to go out and sort of discover myself and see how I fit into this global environment that we live in. So I think what you're saying is completely true. Because when it all comes down to it, we are 7 billion people. It's going to be a lot of work to try and be someone else. That's just a lot of effort to try to be like 6,999,999 other people.
It's right, exactly.
A lot easier to be yourself.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I recall in my 20s sort of struggling with this, because I was always trying to put myself in a box. But I never appreciated, I guess, when we're all speaking about these experiences is we're just in some way opening the eyes of the people that we're speaking with and sort of, you know, exposing them, I think, and sort of in some way to an understanding that, hey, you know, we might be different, but at the end of it all, you know, under everything else, we're also very much the same in our humanity and who we are and the beauty of who we are as being human. Mm-hmm. And, you know, exactly. We talked about this earlier as this sort of you know, essentially, I think everyone is the same at the end of the day, and, and we're all looking to love and be loved, and and you know, I think we're better off looking for those connections, and you know, understanding, connecting with our humanity versus separating ourselves with the differences.
Absolutely, and we were talking earlier about how a lot of problems could be solved by people just accepting other people for who they are. But I think what you're saying, we're all the same. I think I often see it this way. I know there are boxes. I always dread checking those boxes, but because I never know why. Because they have, you know, the African American box, and then they have other. And I'm saying, well, I'm not African American, but am I other? Or should I put black? But then I always say, I mean, we're, when it comes down to it, we're the human race. Right. I think that's the race we are.
Right.
And you know, it just so happens we have, you know, different, you know, different pigmentations and stuff like that. But it's, I think, like what you're saying, we're all the same, and we have very different characteristics. So it'd be great for that. So this has been great, though. I mean, I'm trying to think of any other thing to ask, but I think you've just pulled out all the great things to say. Do you have any last words?
No, I just want to thank you. You know, I think I've expressed this to you before, but I think what you're doing is really fabulous, really wonderful. I think is creating this forum where TCKs can and connect, and now have a way of finding out, you know, what other experiences TCKs have, and sort of, I think, coming to the realization that you're not really alone in this experience, because there are other people out there who've had similar experiences, and I appreciate what you're doing, and thank you for that.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you coming here and just blessing us with your knowledge and telling us to, you know, go for independent films instead of I appreciate it.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to use your difference to make a difference, as well as for show notes, head over to www.uidmag.com. Till next time, go out and make an impact in your world.